What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to the Locked On Pirates podcast. I am, of course, your host, who does the most, Ethan Smith. I hope you all are having a phenomenal Monday, December 6th, the first Monday of December, as we near Christmas. Hope you all are having a wonderful holiday season. Hope everything is going well. We are still cranking out podcasts here on the Locked On Podcast Network about said Pittsburgh Pirates. And on today's episode, of course, as always on Mondays, we will be joined by Gary Morgan to talk about the CBA lockout and some things that we would like to see be agreed upon between the players and the owners, as well as how much confidence we have in Pittsburgh heading into 2022 about the Pirates, as well as some MLB greats being put into Cooperstown this weekend. And the other part of that will be coming in January, so we will be covering that whenever that happens, because it could be a pretty big year for some first timers. But I also want to let you guys know that I am so appreciative of you making me your first listen of the day every single day here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Ethan Smith, of the Locked On Pirates podcast, and you know when the music hits, it gets real, so let's get right into it.
You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Locked On Pirates podcast. I am, of course, your host, Ethan Smith. As you always know, on Mondays, there's two boxes on the screen. Of course, the other is always filled by the wonderful Gary Morgan of Pirates Fan Forum and the DK Pittsburgh Podcast Network. Gary, how are you doing after what ended up being a very good weekend for Pittsburgh sports, all around, realistically, from what I saw?
I'm doing really, really well, and sorry about Georgia, and
I'm used to it. I really am.
But yeah, it was a pretty damn good weekend, really.
I guess it's a thing when you finally go 12-0. They didn't have their little mistake that they usually have during the regular season, so they gave themselves an opportunity. So of course, college football playoff talk. We all know there's a lot of big stuff happening there. There's a lot of stuff happening in sports except MLB. You know, not operating at the current moment. With the CBA lockout thoughts, as many of the listeners of this podcast know, I wanted to wait a week to talk about this just because I thought some stuff might come out. I thought some things would happen. And realistically, nothing has happened. And for anybody that is in the lockout is going to end before the season starts campaign, yeah, you're still probably a little confident that it will. There's still a lot of time before that can happen. I mean, realistically, the season starts, pitchers and catchers, I believe. Don't they come in February? It's like the beginning of February, end of February. So there's still about 2 or 3 months before that could really even be a possibility. But there hasn't been anything going on right now. But Gary, my question to you today, thoughts on the lockout first, considering this is the first time in my lifespan that I have ever seen a lockout of this kind in Major League Baseball. I saw the NBA one, but I think that was much different than this. So what are your initial thoughts on everything? And we already knew that it was coming. So what are your initial thoughts on how things have been handled so far?
I mean, it was the worst kept secret in sports that it was coming. So, yeah. I mean, I just wrote about this the other day. I think the first time that we mentioned on our website that a lockout, specifically a lockout, was coming was December of 2019. Mm-hmm. So pretty safe to say I wasn't caught by surprise by this. I knew it was coming. And the two sides are so far apart. There was going to be a work stoppage one way or another. So, you know, a lot of people are going to pick a bad guy. The owners are the ones that ultimately called it here and decided to go into a lockout. That makes sense because the players kind of really can't strike right now, could they?
No.
They're not playing, so it would be pretty ineffective, but that's where it was going to go. So pick a bad guy if you want. Doesn't really matter. Either side isn't willing to budge, so guess what?
Yeah, and there's a lot of things that I've heard that aren't budged on. I don't know the extent of these things, but I've heard the expanded playoff is in a partial talk about in the CBA. players want more money per AAV and less years of arbitration, all this other stuff. So what are some things that you would like to see the sides come to an agreement on that you think would just make the game of baseball better?
Like to or think they will? Because like to.
Well, you
to,
can do think they I'd will like, or like to.
Like to, I'd like to see a full-blown salary cap system with revenue sharing and a floor. But reality tells me to take baby steps here and expect baby steps, and that's what I think we'll see. I think we'll see a little bit of increased salary for the low end. I think we'll see a little bit of manipulation of the arbitration system in some way, shape, or form. I like the proposal of doing it WAR-based. I think that's at least interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Gives the players a little bit more opportunity, I think, to own that process a little bit more, as opposed to just being awesome and not getting paid for it, at least not nearly on the scale they deserve. So I think that's a pretty easy fix that most people could kind of get behind. I don't know how you just ignore everything that's going on in baseball, though, and come back with the exact same economic structure. So I think they're really going to have to address something there. And the playoffs, to me, is a foregone conclusion. It's going to expand. The owners have already sold the TV package. They already know how they want to it. They're not going to give that up. And the players will cave because they want to play baseball. And if this league wants to have more playoffs, hey, who are they to say they don't want more playoffs ultimately? They just want to make sure they get their slice of pie.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, realistically, you used to have October heroes throughout all of the history of baseball with an expanded playoff, especially if it's still 162 games. I mean, the season could almost go all the way into the middle of November at this point, right? Realistically, on how they do it.
It could. I'd rather them not do that. I think an expanded playoff for me, especially if they get away from having the wild cards be one-game play-ins and do more of a series, I think they're going to have to do something to address the regular season. Have to shorten it in some way, shape, or form. There's just too many cold-weather cities to be pretending we're going to be playing meaningful baseball games when there's snow. And I mean, have you ever hit a baseball in the cold? I mean,
yes.
If you have,
it's not fun.
If you have, you don't want that. And no. If you've ever tried to get feel on a baseball to throw in the cold, I don't think we want that. We don't want tight muscles. We don't want that. This is not a cold weather sport. It is not intended to be played for long stretches like that. I'd like to think they have a little more foresight than that. But then again, I've watched baseball for a long time.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm also speaking from the experience of hitting a baseball in the cold that was being thrown at me 65 to 70 miles per hour, not 95 to 99. So let's not have that, right? Even though I do think a Pittsburgh-Chicago NLCS would be pretty fun in the middle of November when it's just snowing in both cities. That would be pretty interesting. But I think that most of the CBA stuff, like you said, most of it is just stuff that the players are going to have to cave on eventually just because they want to play baseball. But there are some things that I do think they're going to stand their ground on. But it is still pretty early. But as things stand, do you still think that we're going to get a full schedule in 2022? Or do you think that this could extend far enough to where we don't?
I think we'll get pretty close to a full schedule. But I do think we're going to miss some games. I do. I think the problems are mission critical enough that both sides are going to try to push a little bit farther than you might think. The players union really and truly cannot afford to give up on any of the young player issues that have been created. They've kicked the can down the road for decades now on this stuff, and they've given away and fleeced the young careers of millions of players over the years. They have to do something, and they can't afford to just give up on everything that is on the table. And the owners, they can't afford to just concede on all of them either. They really can't. Some of the teams really can't. So you know, you want to continue to sell that it's possible for markets like Pittsburgh and Tampa and whatnot. But if you go and mess with that arbitration system too much, then it doesn't matter morally whether we think it's right or wrong, Ethan. That's the thing. People want to lock this stuff into morals. Morally, do I think young players need to make more money? Absolutely. But as a fan watching this baseball, if you take that ability to manipulate away from these small markets and mid markets, you make an already very difficult job that much harder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're not wrong. And I mean, we'll see how things go. You're here every Monday, so I'm sure almost every Monday we'll probably have something to know about it, or there'll be nothing to know about it. So that's really how this whole CBA lockout thing goes. I hope that we get the full season for content's sake, just because I know as content creators here, it's going to be very difficult for things to really kind of ride out by that point, because it'll be like, well, pitchers and catchers are usually here by now, and they're not here yet. So, and it could be interesting, too, because, I mean, we just saw the entire season, like, that we just had with all these players and the injuries from the shortened season to a full season again. Now they might go back to a shortened season again, and it's like, is this just going to become a trend all of a sudden? Hopefully not, but those are our thoughts on the CBA today. Not too much to really say about it except what we thought. Most of the stuff you said that you would like to see or think would happen is the stuff that I think will happen. I think it's going to be a baby step process, and then the next time around is really when they're going to ramp it up. So that's all that. But as I mentioned, by the way, there is a lot of stuff to watch right now. Spider-Man No Way Home comes out next week. So if you want to catch up on Marvel and all that stuff, you could do that with DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called, excuse me, it's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together today with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Now, this next question and next part of the podcast, as we talked about right before we started recording today, how much confidence should we have for the Pirates in 2022? Let me give a disclaimer now, because I know Gary would also probably give this disclaimer. Confidence does not mean, like, confidence in making the playoffs or confidence in being a winning team. Confidence means, like, what is this team going to do to grow in 2022? So how much confidence should we have for the Pirates to actually show us some prospects, show us some guys that could be here for the next half decade and really start solidifying what's going on here in Pittsburgh?
Not really sure that that's something that is avoidable at this point. I mean, yeah. If they remain healthy, you have to figure you're at least going to see O'Neill Cruz and Roansy Contreras, and I wouldn't even roll out Nick Gonzalez by the end of the year. So, I mean, I think you're going to start to see some of that stuff. I feel pretty good about that. I really do. I think we're going to start to see some of what we might consider to be fun towards the end of the year. A little bit of these prospects starting to make their push. And to me, I'm excited about it. I mean, we've been following some of these guys for 2 or 3 years already, and you know, we've been excited about this starting to happen. Next year's really going to be a much bigger effort, I think, to start moving some of those guys up. Biggest problem right now is a lot of the guys that are close to the league, they're not really the guys you were waiting for.
No.
I mean, now they can turn out to be superstars. I'm not sitting here telling you that they can't. But a lot of these guys aren't the ones that we've been having our ears pinned back waiting for. So, yeah, I'm a little confident in that. I think the thing I need to see the most is, do we have the right coaches in place?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's time to start making those decisions. So far, we've really only let go guys that were here before Ben Charrington. I'd like to see decisions made on Oscar Marine this year. If I don't see a pitcher improve this year, then I think somebody's got to start asking some pretty pertinent questions beyond me. Somebody actually in control needs to start actually saying, hey, who have you improved, sir? Why are you here? Why are we giving you a parking spot?
Yeah, and I mean, I remember at one point in the year, we really thought Oscar Marine was already going to be gone, just based on like what we saw from Mitch Keller this year and some other guys. We all, like, I really thought he was not going to make it through, but he so far has. And I mean, yeah, I totally agree 100% because Zach Thompson, for instance, who they acquired in the Jacob Stallings trade, I'd like to see him have a very good year. Mitch Keller, I'd like to finally just have a good year, even though, as I always mention, just with last year, that was really like finally where you got the full slate of the stats that Mitch Keller has in his entire career, because he has injuries, he has been sent down, he's had everything happen like that. And realistically, too, I mean, I love Key Brian Hayes to death. I do. Like, he's one of my favorite players on the team already. But one of the biggest things that I'm looking for that I need to see confidence and have confidence in, who else but Brian Reynolds? Who else do you have other than Brian Reynolds on the team that's not already here? Like, I know the prospects are going to help out and do their thing, right? But you can't just hope that every single prospect is going to be good. You've said that to me countless times. Like, we can't just assume Kanan Smith-Njigba is going to be the future at right field. You can't just assume that Nick Gonzalez is going to be the future at second base. Key Brian Hayes has a lot of, like, he has a lot of pressure on him heading into 2022. I will say that. I mean, he really does. After the way he jumped on the scene in 2019 and then 2020 was – or 2020, not 2019. The way he did that – and I understand the injury did probably have a big reason on to why he was not as good as he was. But, I mean, somebody really needs to solidify themselves as the second best player on this team right now. And I think he has the best chance to do it. I think most people would say he probably needs to do it. And outside of him, if your second best player is going to be Kevin Newman or Ben Gamble, there's a real problem. So I think you really need to look at Key Brian Hayes taking a major step, as well as you mentioned with the prospects coming in and actually making a real impact down the stretch and showing us what we could really be looking forward to in 2023.
I mean, first, I think Brian Hayes does have a really good shot of holding the mantle of second best player on the team. I look at what he did in his cup of coffee in 2020, and I kind of slam it together with 2021 because I feel like that gives me a better picture of an actual rookie season. You know, I kind of slam it all together, and I'm pretty happy with those numbers when it's all put together for his career.
Yeah.
If that's what he does, I'll take that. I really will. And that's honestly, I think, what he kind of showed us we should expect on his way up. I mean, he's not really been a huge power threat. He's a gap power guy. I do think he'll evolve that, but he's always been a doubles guy all the way up. So I guess, if anything, the very first cup of coffee was probably a little bit of a aberration as opposed to what we can expect. But I do think that he'll develop more of that power. I think the injury, I suppose it affected him towards the second half of the year. I'm not going to give it as an excuse because he wouldn't take it himself.
Yeah.
It would be different if he told us after the season, like, yeah, my wrist was really screwed up and I couldn't swing the bat right and everything. Really, all I've heard are murmurings and little misquotes here and there from trainers and whatnot. I'm not going to go ahead and pile that on the kid. I think he was a rookie. I think next year, he's going to be better. And I think O'Neill Cruz will come up here and look good. And then I think O'Neill Cruz is going to get punched back by the league. And then everyone's going to panic. Oh, he's not the guy. And then he'll figure it out. That's the way rookies play most of the time.
Yep.
We got this fantasy that everybody comes up in their Tatis and Acuna and Soto, and that's rare. Mm-hmm. That don't happen that often. I mean, so when you get a guy that hits 260, 270 as a rookie, you got to take it sometimes. That's not a loss.
Especially not on a team like this where hitting the baseball was really pretty hard this year. And I really think that there's only one prospect in all of baseball right now that was able to jump on the scene and make a ridiculous impact, and his name is Wander Franco, which, by the way, completely off topic, that contract actually angered me a little bit. I don't know why, because I didn't realize that it was, like, spaced out as much as it was until, like, I looked at the years, like, per, and I was like, wow, he's really not going to make $20 million until, like, 2024 or 2025 or something. And I was like, wow, okay then. But, I mean, again, I think that there's a, like you said, I think there's a real shot that Key Bryan, of course, if you combine those stats together, if he gives me that every single year, how many people will really be mad? Like, you can't be, right?
Well, we're Pirates fans, so a lot.
No, yeah, of course.
But
he's not batting .355 with like 50 home runs, and he's terrible, right?
I mean, point is though, like if you just put your expectations where they belong for rookies, and really, honestly, I stress this point an awful lot as I talk Pirates and write Pirates, because you're going to be seeing a lot of rookies over the next few years. If you don't have your head screwed on straight on how to watch rookies play, you're going to be miserable. They play like rookies sometimes. I mean, I just don't think you should be expecting a lot of these guys to burst on the scene and look like all that. It's just not how it goes most of the time. I'll take it if it does. You can't expect it. That's just all there is to it.
Yeah, well, at least I would have said I would have had confidence in O'Neal Cruz keeping his jersey number, but he changed it. So thankfully I didn't buy my O'Neal Cruz jersey yet. But that speaks a lot about what we're going to be talking about throughout the offseason, talking about a lot of these guys. I think I'm going to start doing player profiles pretty soon just to kind of stay away from the CBA talk a lot, because I don't want it every single day to just be a CBA podcast. Because if you want to listen to that, you can go listen to ESPN talk about it, because that's all I talk about right now. But I want to let you guys know also that today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. This holiday season, grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, or even better than a candy bar. That's Built Bar, filled with so much holiday goodness, rich with decadent flavor, covered in chocolate, but amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat. And high in protein. You get the best of both worlds, delicious and healthy. So many flavors, you'll have a hard time choosing. Will you have raspberry or mint brownie, cherry or double chocolate, cookies and cream, or peanut butter brownie? Who knows? You just got to find what you like. And if you want to, you can order a mix box where you'll get two of each of the 9 flavors that Built Bar has to offer. Built Bar also gives you that extra fuel you need to bust down those mall doors and battle holiday shoppers. Because it's a season of peace and love, though, don't bring up your favorite Built Bar flavor at family parties. People are passionate about it, so be careful with that, guys. Trust me, I've actually had some people tell me about Built Bar after listening to this podcast and said that they hated the cookies and cream was my favorite flavor. So you got to be careful. But like some of those marshmallowy treats around the holidays as well, you need to get your hands on Built Bar Puffs. They're light, fluffy, and marshmallowy through and through. Different flavors, all covered in chocolate. Taste so good, you won't believe that they're even filled with protein. So go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off of your next order, meaning you could be an existing customer of the best protein bars on the market and still get some money off. Because guess what? Everybody wants to save money, right? We're Pirates fans. Anyways, yesterday, a bunch of guys that I've never seen play baseball in my entire life were inducted to Cooperstown yesterday. Buck O'Neill, Gil Hodges, Manny Minoso, Tony Oliva, Jim Catt, and Bud Fowler were all put in. If you want my dead honesty here, I'm happy for all of them. The only one I ever heard of, or the only two I ever heard of, were Gil Hodges and Manny Minoso. I never heard of any of the other ones, and that was just because, one, my parents weren't even alive when they were playing baseball, and a lot of them have just kind of, you know, like, a lot of them also, which go check out the Locked On MLB podcast today, where Sully talked about appreciating these players while they're alive instead of, like, waiting until way, way after to do it. He talked about that at length. But, Gary, I know you're probably a little bit more knowledgeable on the subject of these guys. So was this any surprise to you that these guys were put in, or was it just pretty much something that all 6 of these guys deserve to be there and there's no real else to talk about with?
I don't like the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I feel it's watered down. I don't feel like it has represented the game well in recent years. I don't blame people for not voting for the steroid guys. So mm-hmm. I don't, you know, I just don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go, so I don't care. Gil Hodges, by all accounts, great guy. Stats say he's at least close, right? But if it takes 33 years for you to get in, do you really deserve to be in?
Yeah, I mean, that's
to me, it's very difficult to say that. It's very difficult for me to go, oh, you haven't played the game in 38 years, or you've been eligible for election to the Hall of Fame for 38 years, and nobody thought you were worthy until you died and or your widow is 95 years old. It seemed to me like a nice gesture type thing, and that sucks, because the Hall of Fame shouldn't be that way. If his stats say he should be in, he should be in. If they don't, he shouldn't. And that's really all there is to it. I just don't care anymore. I don't care about mm-hmm. the steroids thing. I don't care about who voted for what or why this one pitcher can't get in because he voted for the wrong person or why this one. I just don't care anymore. The Hall of Fame became a joke as soon as they started making it one.
And I agree. And I realistically, if you look at the other three major sports, I think football does it really well. With their Hall of Fame, pretty much if you don't get in around, I think it's what, like 5 year, like you're eligible 5 years after, or three, or it's some, like, I forget the number that it is exactly, but I think you're on the ballot for only like 5 years. So most of the time, you have to be a really good football player to get into the Hall of Fame.
Well,
most
and then they have the Veterans Committee too. Like, that's why Donnie Schell just got in for the Steelers last year, because he, you know, obviously hasn't played the game in quite mm-hmm. some time, right? So he makes it in. And again, I'm not sitting here saying like, oh, I hate Donnie Schell, he shouldn't be in. But it took 40 years. Long, I mean, like, come on now. You know, like at some point, now, you know, the next campaign will be LC Greenwood, right? Oh, we should cry for LC Greenwood. I just, to me, all the Hall of Fames, they've tried.
Yeah.
But now they've become, to me, shells of what they were intended to be. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to be the best of the best, and that's not what they are anymore.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of the old adage of everybody doesn't deserve a trophy. I mean, yeah, you might have been a very good player. There are a lot of very good players among baseball history that are not in the Hall of Fame. One of them just so happens to possibly be the best to ever do it recently in the last 40 years. He just won't ever get in because the media hated him. And he hated the media back. And I'm speaking on Barry Bonds.
Oh, he'll get in at some point.
In like 30 years from now, of course. And then we'll
at some point, he'll get in,
But it's the idea of, I get what you're saying as well, is it's like, if you're there for 30 or 40 years, it'd be the same thing with me, is it's like 30 years from now, if I, like, let's say, oh yeah, we'll give you a shot now to be a part of this newspaper, or be a part of this media outlet. It's like, well, I've waited 30 years for it. I'm really surprised. And most people are going to be like, wow, this guy didn't get hired for 30 years. Like, is he really good at his job or not? Not saying that I'm not good at my job. I hope I am. But that's just a kind of real life scenario, a real life example. Because, I mean, how would it feel that, like, you're in the workplace in your career, and then somebody who couldn't get a job for 30 years all of a sudden has one? Like, it would probably feel a little weird. But, I mean, I'm sure that this was, like, again, very nice for all these guys to get in. But as Gary said, and it's kind of my train of thought as well, it more or less feels like a gesture of celebration of life than it does celebration of who they were as a baseball player. That's kind of where I get it from. And that's like, I get it. Like, cool. I don't want to sound impartial about it, but if you're talking about the Baseball Hall of Fame, yeah, they might have been a great person. They might have had a phenomenal life and everything, but do the stats back it up? And if you're on the ballot for that long, maybe they didn't. Maybe they didn't.
I mean, they're off the regular ballot. They just get put on the Veterans Committee. I mean, that's what the Veterans Committee is there for, to pick up the people that fall through the holes. I don't want to make it sound like these guys are completely undeserving.
Yeah.
It's just to me, you know, six of them going in, it very much so speaks to the fact that we're smack dab in the middle of the steroid era on the ballot. They don't want to vote for any of them because of the morality clause. And that's all there is to it. And I mean, like, you can get upset about that, but the Hall of Fame is the one that produces that ballot and the one that produces the rules with the morality clause.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get mad at the voters for not voting for people, but they're doing exactly what the morality clause wants them to do. I mean, I think it's funny whenever we allow humans to judge the morals of others. I think that's a mistake. But at some point, most of these guys broke the rules in some way, shape, or form. And in the very strictest sense of the words, they broke the morality clause.
Yep. And we'll see in January. I think there's easily... I think there's one lock for the Hall of Fame from off the top of my head, and I would say it's Ortiz. I think we'll definitely get in. A-Rod is a little interesting. I think he'll get in now, too, because he's kind of fixed his relationship with the media, considering he is the media now. But that's really my thoughts on that. Half the stuff in the Hall of Fame now is a toss-up. Like, it really is. It's just really what the person that's writing on the piece of paper feels about that day. They could be in a really good mood and write two extra names on there. They could be in a really bad mood and not write any name on there. It really is just how it is. But, Gary, as always, it's always fun to have you on Mondays. Go ahead and tell the wonderful people that listen to this podcast where they can find your work and everything that you write about with the Pirates and everything else that you're doing, too, considering there's a lot going on in Pittsburgh sports as of late.
Yeah, so... Everything I write is at InsideTheBucksBasement.com. I check any of that out. Five Thoughts comes up every Monday. And the Pirates Fan Forum comes out every Friday at 2. It's on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. Check that out. And we're going to be live at the North Shore Tavern on January 22nd at 2 o'clock. Anybody that can make it down. We're going to be doing a live Pirates Fan Forum. It'll be an extra show that week. Really looking for a lot of interaction. We're hoping for a lot of good history stories about the Buccos.
Yeah. Well, if I lived in Pittsburgh, you know I'd be there, but maybe I can make something work out with travel schedules, considering you always call me a jet setter. But you guys already know that you could follow me and Gary on Twitter at our Twitters that are below. There's mine. His is like over there, if I could point the correct way. Yep. Okay. We're lost. Anyways, you can also follow this podcast on Twitter at Locked On Pirates. You guys have been smashing the like button on YouTube as well. You can listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, Google Play, and of course YouTube. You can also find Gary's wherever you can find mine. Gary, thank you so much for another phenomenal Gary Morgan Monday. Guys, I will be back with you tomorrow. As if I am not mistaken, we have two more weeks of 5 days a week. I don't want to, like, obviously go full depth in that, but I'm not really sure. But I'm pretty sure you guys are going to be getting content regardless. So, with that said, thank you all so much for tuning in today, and have a phenomenal rest of your Monday, and I will see you tomorrow.